Yes, Maddie, I'm just like nodding in agreement. You're still that Maddie from 2000 having sex in the crowd in Las Vegas. You are still that woman who has those desires. That's the good news. It doesn't go away. It's still there. And we're going to let her come out right now and lead the pack here and start thinking about that. Like when you go home tonight, like talk about your hottest, sexiest scenarios, and then you're going to start to feel it again in your body. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. We all have personal demons, whether it's anxiety in your relationship, dissatisfaction in your sex life, or something hurtful from the past that's infecting your present. But how do we heal so that our sex drive can thrive? Well, that's what today's episode is all about. I talked to callers about their sexual mental blocks and how to move past them for a more empowered future. When outside circumstances create stress for your family, how can you still prioritize intimacy? Or when one partner is inhibited in bed, how can they learn to relax and find their authentic sexual voice? We also talk about what to do when you've been through the death of a loved one. How can you make room for a new relationship while honoring their memory? All this and more on today's show. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention, and I encourage you to do the same. Well, my intention is to remind everyone that it's human to have mental blocks around sex. I mean, most of us do, okay? By the end of this episode, you'll not only feel less alone, but have ideas for taking care of yourself mentally and sexually. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. It really helps us, and we so appreciate it. My new gift guide, Gifts for Every Turn-On, Valentine's Day Guide 2023 is up at sexwithemily.com. And you're going to love this year's gift guide. We did something a little bit different, and you're definitely going to find the gift for everyone in your life, including yourself. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, do it. Leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just be sure to include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you about our partner, Odella Health. As the first virtual health clinic focused on women's sexual health, Odella makes it that much easier and more accessible for vulva owners to get the care they need. They specialize in care for women who are postpartum, perimenopausal, or postmenopausal, and they offer free consultations and unlimited follow-ups with their medical team under Dr. Ashley Winter. She's a top sexual health doctor and urologist. They also offer vaginal estrogen prescriptions and ship it to you so you don't have to go to the pharmacy. This is a game changer and the kind of help a lot of women really need right now. So please check out Odella Health. I'm super impressed by their services that they offer. So for a free virtual treatment and $50 off your first prescription, go to odellahealth.com/sexwithemily. That's odellahealth.com/sexwithemily. Or click the link in our show notes. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a cultural icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my Magic Wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom, you know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. So today's show is all about the connection between your mental and sexual well-being, and I'll be answering your calls all about this important challenge that many couples face. So let's start with Maddie. She's 45 in Texas. Hi, Maddie. Tell us what's going on.
I was calling to ask you, how to handle stress so it brings you closer together rather than tearing you apart. We've had an extremely stressful year. Additionally, we also have an outsider stressor. We have a child with a rare blood cancer. And this year, on top of everything else, we've also lost our jobs. We've had to move back to my husband's hometown. I've got a mother-in-law in our business. I mean, if you sat down and wrote a book on how to make things crazy, that's what we're dealing
Maddie.
With. And then,
this is hard.
So I'm trying to figure out, I just thought maybe we could talk about some of the coping skills that couples can use to kind of combat all the things that we're all going through.
Yes, Maddie, I'm so sorry you're going through all this. How long have you guys been together?
21 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Maddie, have you guys, I would recommend too, are you getting any time away or time apart, time for yourself?
Well, we do when we can. I mean, we're literally in the middle of a tri-state move.
Okay.
We had a great company that we worked for, and every time our son needed to go to a doctor, they would move us because we're land surveyors. Typically, we were together 24 hours a day, which for a lot of couples would be a deal breaker, but it brought us closer together. And so time apart just for ourselves, that evaporated kind of early on.
Right.
Unfortunately, that was what spare time we did have kind of went into research. And then we have two children, so then it was also managing the needs of our other child as well.
So we ended up splitting the load. Okay. How is the stress showing up in your relationship right now? How is it showing up?
It's showing up with my husband, and our sex life has definitely taken a tank. Sex has always been something that's been both hit or miss. We both have high sex drives, but we're not always on the same level with that. Sometimes mine would be really high and he'd be just kind of I'm tired, and vice versa. But we finally found our stride, I guess, about 10 years ago. We were now we kind of got that bump in the road worked out. We don't take it personal. I'm really not there, or sometimes I am. And then we kind of worked with each other's needs. We got really good about communicating.
Okay, that's great.
But then in the last couple of years, he did test for low testosterone, and so that's being treated. But sex to him is really incredibly, incredibly important.
Okay.
And for me, it's important, but it is not the most paramount thing. For me, it's emotional. And great sex is the byproduct to me of a great emotional relationship.
Right.
And it seems like it's kind of the opposite for him. Great sex leads to the great emotion with him. And I think
that's typically kind of more of a masculine thing, right? To have the sex, and then you need the emotional connection to feel more sexual. First off, it sounds like you guys have really been through it and you really do have really good communication. The fact that you were able to figure out your sex life and all that. So first I would identify, you know, some of the stressors. Like, if you guys had a chance to actually sit down and talk about what is actually going on and what you're feeling, because once you can kind of identify, have an open, maybe one night he's talking about what his triggers are and what's stressing him out, and you talk about, you know, what's going on for you, because maybe just some of it needs to be cleared and you could figure out ways to support each other when this happens. So I think that, but it doesn't sound like you're not having a lot of resentment towards each other, right? It sounds like you are actually cohabitating well.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, we have good moments and bad moments. We use humor a lot. That's one of our big coping mechanisms is humor. Like, we make everything a joke because that's just our personality.
Okay.
And
you listen to each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we've employed a lot of great coping mechanisms.
Okay.
We do have a family counselor, which... Yeah, you weren't going to push therapy. I'm going to. Like,
good.
That made a huge difference for us.
Okay, good.
Yeah. We jumped in to get the child counseling for anxiety, and we realized the whole family really needed it.
Oh, like, everyone needs therapy.
A lot.
Thank you, Maddie. Okay, good. Well, I would say then if you want to just focus on that, I was trying to kind of suss out other things here, but if you want to focus on your sex life, then I think that you have to, that my number one tip, I have a few tips for you. The first thing would be scheduling sex, because then it's not like, well, you want it one day and he wants it the next day. And even if you're not really feeling it right now, there's magic in knowing that Saturday night we're having sex. Like, it's going to happen, because then you don't feel bad that you didn't want it on Wednesday when he wanted it. And then you can kind of look forward to it, and you can kind of maybe start to talk about what you're going to try that night. You know, maybe you'll wear something that makes you feel sexy, or you'll try a toy together. You'll do something a little bit different, so it becomes an event and it becomes something special that you are doing together. I recommend, like, doing some exploration together. You know, I know that you probably don't have a lot of time away from the kids and you're home with your mother-in-law, but a lot of couples listen to this show together, or they download a bunch of my podcasts, which are available on all these platforms to listen to together. We have something on our site as well called a yes, no, maybe list. And you can look at all these sex acts, like everything, kissing, cuddling, spanking, and you could kind of see other things you want to try, because you might need, like, so then, and then you compare the lists and see, oh, I didn't know you wanted to talk dirty more. And I'm just trying to give you little things, because you just don't need to overhaul everything. You just need to make sure that you're prioritizing it, right? That it's going to happen. Maybe getting a toy that you can, you know, do that, or mutual masturbation, so you're both getting off, especially if there's like noise issues, if the parents are around. You could also take it off the table right now. You could say, well, you know what? We're not going to have sex for a month or something, to work on other things. Maybe it won't be intercourse, but you do more handholding and intimacy. So I'm trying to, you know, so is that helpful for where you're at right now for tips? Is there anything else?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually great tips, because
okay,
I think you get to a point where you're just like, I've done everything I know to do, you know?
Yes.
And it's right now, things are intense. But we're still holding strong and holding fast. It's just
great.
I see coming on the horizon that if we don't think things are going to get really a lot harder. And then it's not us against the world. It's then going to be us against each other as well. I can't do that.
That is beautiful. You sound so well adjusted here with your husband. So I think it's a matter of saying, you know, babe, I really know how important our intimacy is for both of us. So let's do some fun things together. Let's plan on Saturday night when the kids are with the babysitter, the kids are out, or wherever you can find time. And maybe you can go get a hotel room for a few hours. You know, I know money might be tight right now, but you know, maybe you could find a place where you could just connect or make it special again. Talk about it. Like, this is what I have found. And this is when couples talk about their sex life in a way that makes it fun, like, what could we try? What could we do together? That could be the spark that you need to connect you again. Just that act of saying, let's prioritize it, or let's talk about the three most memorable times we've had sex. There's a power in reminiscing as well that sort of connects couples when you reminisce about the past together. So writing down the three most memorable times or the three, you know, fantasies you both want to try. Think like making a fun game out of it. And I'm sure he's going to appreciate that you're already thinking ahead about it.
I hope so. I would expect so. Like, he better. Like, I'm awesome. And I'm going to make sure he's happy.
You are awesome. Yeah, you sound awesome and super, like, capable to make this happen. So, and also, you know, going easy on yourself too, if you don't always want it. And he, like, if couples have an understanding, like, okay, so it's going to be, sex is going to be a little bit lighter the next 2 weeks. Like, then you, there's a relief that comes to that, or just kind of getting on top of it. So talking honestly and openly about your sex life and then making a plan for sex.
Yeah, that sounds great. Like, we figured out where each other's buttons were a long time ago. So I think that's a great suggestion. I think that's going to help us out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we can schedule time to push each other's buttons, even better. Because I think
exactly.
We're just missing. We're ships passing in the night at this point. So.
Right. Yeah, that's it. So what's it sounds like? You'll get back on top of it. You will. And I think, again, just by talking about it, not blaming and getting ahead of the resentment here and healing it with love and sex is beautiful. So I'm all for you, Maddie. I'm your fan. You're doing great.
Well, thank you. Any other tips for stress-proofing a relationship?
What are you into? Like, what are you? I mean, toys are great. Trying something different, having sex in different rooms. You know, what has been the most memorable sex you've had with your husband?
So this is a little naughty, but New Year's 2000 in the middle of the crowd in Vegas.
Yes. That's amazing. In the middle of a crowd. Yes. No,
okay,
but maybe there was something.
We were all going to die.
Exactly. I remember. Yeah. Well, the whole
it
thing.
It was a really long skirt. It all worked out. Like, no one was the wiser. Or they were. They just didn't care. It was fun.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Okay. So, first off, I want to give you a medal, but also that might tell me that you love that it was unexpected. It was spontaneous. Maybe you were going to get caught. So maybe there's a little bit of dare you want to do. Maybe you're having sex outside of your, you know, his parents' home right now when they're sleeping. Maybe there's some kind of excitement element that you can bring in right now. Something that's daring. Could you recreate that?
Yeah, that might be. Yeah, I think that's, you know, yeah, thank you for helping me realize that, because I've definitely fallen into the old married woman routine.
Yep.
And I don't think that was who I was when we met. And I think that's not who I am under all the layers of PTA acceptable behavior that I put on, you know,
nope.
For going to school.
No,
I think that's been great.
Yes, Maddie, I'm just like nodding in agreement. You're still that Maddie from 2000 having sex in the crowd in Las Vegas. You are still that woman who has those desires. That's the good news. It doesn't go away. It's still there. And we're going to let her come out right now and lead the pack here and start thinking about that. Like, when you go home tonight, like, talk about your hottest, sexiest scenarios, and then you're going to start to feel it again in your body. Sometimes we need that reminder of things that have happened in the past together, reminiscing. That might be it too. Communication is a lubrication.
Awesome. I love that. Communication is lubrication. Oh my gosh, I'll
yes.
remember that forever. That's
okay,
awesome.
Good.
That's awesome.
Awesome, Maddie. I love hearing from you guys. When you things, if they work, they didn't work, let me know how I can help you. What I told her was the yes, no, maybe list on our website at sexwithemily.com is a great starting point for couples to start talking about your sex life if you never have. This is the time. We all need it. We all need sex, love, and connection. We really do. Let's talk to Rick, 36, in Idaho. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
I got a question for you, Emily. So when I have sex with my significant other, there's not a lot of, like, moaning or any verbal communication. I was wondering, what can I do to break through that barrier?
Well, I think it's a practice, and she probably has never been vocal in bed before. It doesn't really, maybe she feels like it would be awkward or shame. So have you ever talked to her about it and say, I think it's really hot to hear you moan or to hear when you're turned on?
I have. She's just kind of stuck in her own head and kind of has difficulty expressing it.
Yeah, you know, this is a practice. You know, maybe she grew up in a home where it was not okay to make noises, or she feels shameful for being a sexual being. So okay. Does she not make any noise?
Every once in a while, but it's very seldom.
Okay. It's not, you know, it's practice. And I think, again, maybe you could kind of, I don't know. It's just so funny because once you start making noise, like, I feel like I can't stop. Like, I don't even know how to not make noise because it's just like if it feels good, you just moan and it just, but it sounds like she has a repressed,
right?
Yeah. She's repressed around this. So it's kind of like undoing whatever, you know. Did she grow up in a home where, like, does she have any sexual challenges around, you know, religion or anything like that?
Not that I know of. It was a big household, so I'm sure it was harder.
Do you know if she has orgasms or she masturbates?
Yeah, about once a week.
Oh, cool. I mean, what I recommend is I tell women to practice, or men, anyone, practice on your own. Practice when you're masturbating. Just let it out. Make some noise. Like, open your mouth a little bit and just let that noise come out. Like, it's a practice. Like, what does your body want to say at that moment? It almost, you realize it's involuntary, that you realize that once you start, like, moaning or, like, just kind of letting out a deep moan or a sigh, like, exaggerate what's already there, right? Exaggerate the moan. Exaggerate the, you know, okay, what her, she has to find her natural sex noises. Like, a lot of us think we have to mimic porn or, but I think that she doesn't know what hers are. But once you start to sort of tap into them, then you realize, like, oh, God, this is just part of it. Like, if someone does anything, you're like, oh, you squeal if you're happy. You moan if it feels good. So you realize that it's more effort to stop yourself from moaning than it is to moan. So she could also maybe use some words and, like, start talking. Maybe she just said that feels good. Like, would you like that if she just started giving you verbal cues?
Okay, yeah.
You could tell her that. You could...
Okay. Advice.
Yeah. Just say, tell me what you're feeling. Like, do you ever say to her, like, how do you feel, or what feels good to you? You know, do you ever talk to her about that?
We're kind of getting to that stage. But yeah, we're starting to break through a little bit. I was just wondering if there was, like, anything that you specifically recommend. And that's kind of what we've been trying, is what you've already kind of said.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it is. Like, start making sounds that are sort of echoing the physical sensations that you're having. Like, you're amplifying the moment rather than distracting from the moment. And if she doesn't have the words, she could say, like, that feels good, or I like it the way you're touching me here. If she doesn't have the moans yet, and then she'll start to feel comfortable because you're going to tell her, like, you know, you're going to say that's really hot when you do that. And so I feel like a lot of people just feel bad about vocalizing their sensations. So, like, I think that she could even, maybe when she's about to orgasm, you said it's once a week, she can kind of, you know, deepen the sensations of the orgasm, like letting out a noise when she's about to orgasm. And then it might start to come out more. Maybe if you also have some music playing, that could help. Maybe she'll feel like it's not so silent. And then also taking really deep breaths. Deep breaths allow us to kind of, like, when you, like a deep inhale, and then your exhale is like, you know, it's just sort of a natural, like, if you guys do some breathing exercises together, then you can also naturally, you hold it, like, your exhale is longer than your inhale, in for 6 counts, out for 7 counts. And if you do that before sex, that might get her comfortable making noises that aren't so pretty, maybe, but they're hot. She just probably doesn't have experience yet. So I would try to play with her in one of these ways. Okay.
Okay.
Helpful.
Awesome.
All right. All right, Rick. Yep, let me know how it goes. Yep. Awesome. Love it.
Thank you, Emily.
Let's talk to Angie, 29, in Connecticut. Hi, Angie. Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hi, Emily. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So I called in, and you were really helpful. I was, like, having some problems with, like, mismatched sex drive stuff with my boyfriend, and you gave some really good advice about, like, trying to kind of get more in touch with my body, a lot of what you guys are talking about and trying to be more mindful. And so I feel like I ended up doing kind of like more of a body meditation and really tried to get into myself. And I have like an issue kind of like accepting the whole, you know, like self-love masturbation thing. I still have some shame around that, but I really tried to like get into it. And what ended up happening, and I really felt like I went into a meditation beforehand. And whatever, what ended up happening is I started, my mind started going to my boyfriend that had passed away a couple of years ago. And that's who, that's kind of like, it made me feel weird because that's kind of what I was thinking back to. And that's what made me, you know, get to climax. And then I started feeling all these emotions, and I haven't thought about him in that, like when I'm doing that, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Like when he first passed away, I was thinking of that's what that was happening all the time. And then I would cry. And then it was like a really intense experience. But I feel like I kind of shelved that for a while because I've tried to really distance myself from it. Right. And then I have this issue now where, you know, I'm with someone else now and it's really great, but it's not nearly as passionate or as intense or as, you know, just like, it's just one of those things and nothing will compare to this. And it's like, I know a lot of people say that, like when people lose people, but it really is just one of these things where it was one of those unique things I'll never have again. And I've accepted that, but it was like, it was just so passionate and it's hard for me not to compare where I'm at right now, you know what I mean? And I'm just trying to find a way. I feel like I thought that I've like let it go. But then like, you know, it's a few years later now and now I feel like it just comes in a little bit in waves or whatever, but.
Okay. You mean the death? So are you saying, Angie, I'm so glad you're calling back in. So you're saying that you called in a while ago because you were having problems just kind of being more aroused with your current partner. And then now through you start to meditate, you get in a state or during masturbation. And then now you're just, whenever you're with someone, you're just having these thoughts of your boyfriend who passed away.
So it's not that I always have thoughts of it. So the thing is, like, I feel like I have more of a drive than my current boyfriend does.
Okay.
And so then when I think, and then I feel like I'm getting into this, I recently just started getting back into this, like trying to be more mindful of my body.
Okay.
The last time I was just by myself, my mind went back to that boyfriend who passed away. We were still on the same level and it was so like, there wasn't even a question and we just did everything together. And it was just a very passionate and very spiritual connection.
Okay.
And it's hard for me to, I guess,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like for a long time I was able to kind of accept like, okay, this is gone. And I still accept, like, I'm not going to have this again, but I still have like, I'm like overcome with this thing that I don't have that passion that I had and I don't have that connection that
comparing.
I had.
Okay.
Yeah, the comparing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy with where I am now, but it's a lot, and it's a lot more stable now. And it just doesn't have that like fire, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it is an acceptance too, like knowing that it's not going to be, I think it's not about better or worse. It's more like you had this experience that was beautiful and to kind of accept the feelings as they come up and thinking about your ex and that, you know, you're 29 years old and I just feel like maybe it takes a while to deal with grief. I mean, I wish there was a timeline where you're just done and then you can move on, but it sounds like initially maybe you were in a shock and it was sort of repressed and then you started doing more meditation and then it started coming up and being more present.
Maybe it is just the grief. And like, I feel like it's not as intense as it used to be. Like I used to think about him and when I was, you know, just you know, masturbating, and then I would cry, and it just felt like very weird and pathetic. Mm. And then this sort of happened again after 3 years. Mm. And it was just came out of nowhere. And I understand that grief is not linear and all of that. And, it just felt like, I don't know. And yeah, I guess I do feel kind of guilty because my boyfriend now knows everything that happened, and I'm very close with the one who's passed. I'm very close with his family. And now my current boyfriend is involved there and knows everyone. So that made me feel better. But at the same time, I don't feel like this is the kind of stuff I can't talk about this with him.
Yeah. I'm so glad you called in. We want to normalize it for you, right? The more if you can just say, it's okay, this is what I'm experiencing and you're present with it and not judging.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that does feel better. Thank you.
Oh, good, Angie. Stay in touch, okay, Angie?
Yeah, thank you both.
We're sending you love.
Before we take a quick break, I want to talk to you all about one of our longtime partners, Promescent. You know I love their delay spray, which not only helps you maintain longer and stronger erections, but it's also long-lasting and doesn't transfer to your partner. We love them. But today, I want to talk to you about another one of their amazing products, their VitaFlux supplements for women. It's designed for women to support overall circulatory health. VitaFlux increases natural lubrication, increases orgasm sensitivity, and even helps reduce pain during intercourse. It can also lower bad cholesterol levels and increase blood flow. I'm a fan of supplements. If you are regular with these and you're patient and you take them for a few months, you will see results. My listeners get 15% off when they go to promescent.com/Emily. That's promescent.com/Emily for 15% off. Plus, when you order online, you'll get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, and discreet delivery. When we're back, I'm joined by Dr. Daniel Amen to talk more about the importance that mental hygiene can have in your pleasure. So stick around.
I'm so excited to welcome my guest because I have lots of things to talk to Dr. Daniel Amen about, but he can also talk to you, help you out with whatever's going on right now. Dr. Amen, if you don't know, America's leading psychiatrist, brain health expert. And so you can check out everything. He's written so many books, and it's iminclinics.com. Oh, Dr. Amen, where do we start? Good to see you. Thanks for joining me. You wrote a lot of books.
It's been dumb old.
I have all of them. But Dr. Amen, what I want to say is that the reason why you say the end of mental health, not that it's not a thing, but your brain is the precursor, because if your brain isn't healthy, then that's going to impact your thoughts, you know, your mental hygiene, which I love that phrase. I love that you wrote that down. So how do we start to tackle that? How do we even, what does that look like, mental hygiene?
Well, it's really simple, actually. So eliminate the term mental illness, call them what they really are, brain health issues that steal your mind. And brain health, really three things. It's brain envy. You have to care about it. Freud was wrong. Penis envy is not the cause of anybody's problem. I haven't seen it one time. He was 2.5 feet too low in people's bodies. So you have to really care about this 3 pounds of fat between your ears, which means you don't let your children hit soccer balls with their head or play tackle football. And you don't really see alcohol as a health food. It's not. It damages the brain, or marijuana is not going green. It's not. It's not good for brain health. So care about your brain and then avoid things that hurt it. Know the list and do things that help it. Know the list. And the little tiny habit is whenever you come to a decision point in your day, ask yourself, is this good for my brain or bad for it? And if you can answer that question with information and love of yourself, love of your family, love of your mission, you really start making great decisions. And I love that because it's not hard. If you can answer that one question, is this good for my brain or bad for it? So when you think of staying up late, well, not sleeping, that's bad for your brain. Or if you think of believing every stupid thing you think, I call them ants, automatic negative thoughts. No, that's bad. We have to discipline our mind. You know, we live in this society that's completely undisciplined. if we don't think honestly, if we don't think accurately, we don't think clearly, it damages our brains and our relationships. The front part of your brain, it's called the prefrontal cortex, focus, forethought, judgment, impulse control. And we often say no forethought equals no foreplay. You know, if you hurt her feelings, there's not going to be good things happening later on.
Exactly. No forethought, no foreplay. Because some people are like, it takes a beat when you're like, oh, I can actually stop these thoughts. They're not me. You know, there's a moment. And then you have to keep reminding yourself. So where do we start?
I have a fun new exercise for you. Give your mind a name. Separate it from you just a little bit. So I named my mind after my pet raccoon when I was 16. I literally had a pet raccoon named Hermie. And so it just like, and Hermie, when I had her, it was a girl. I didn't know she was a girl until she got pregnant. But anyways, she talked, talk, talk, talk. That's how raccoons sound. And you know, my mind just like chatters at me. And if I can separate myself just a little bit, then I don't have to believe it. And I can like go, you need to go away. Or I'm going to take a break from you. And I find that's just so helpful. Some of my patients, they name their mind Ursula from Little Mermaid. Or I have a hockey player and he couldn't think of a name. And I'm like, do you have a nemesis? And he's like, Johnny. And so he named his mind Johnny because he knew whenever Johnny was on the ice, he would never win. And I just want you to separate from your mind and start every day with today is going to be a great day. Focus your mind. Mm-hmm. We need to do a little work. It's not hard. It takes about 3 seconds. Today is going to be a great day. When you go to bed at night, go, what went well today? Because we have to train our minds. You know, when we evolved at a very dangerous time. The weather was dangerous. Other animals were trying to eat us. And, you know, you had to wake up in fear because that was rational.
Right.
Well, that is no longer rational. And those negative, fearful thoughts, they just invade us if we allow them to stick around. Well, you don't have to allow them to stick around.
Right.
And there's one exercise I love. So the book's about dragons and ants, the dragons from the past that breathe fire on your emotional brain and how to kill the automatic negative thoughts. But this one exercise, if you write down 100 of your worst thoughts, and believe me, my patients have at least 100 bad thoughts running around.
Yeah.
And then I teach them how to kill them. You do that exercise 100 times, change your life forever. Mm. You can just live in the present rather than being tortured by all the ants that
the automatic you. That's it. I mean, I know for me, it's funny because I was actually listening to something this morning in anticipation and excitement of you coming on the show. And it was an interview, I think that we did, or I was reading something that you did listening, and you said that about today is going to be a great day. And I happened to be listening to it this morning at around 7 a.m. And I was in that in between, I should go for a run. But then I was like on my phone listening and I was fuddling around. And then you said, today's going to be a great day. And I realized that I'd been caught up I'd woke up a little bit anxious. Yesterday was a crazy day. And I'm telling you, Dr. Amen, I did that. I said, I looked in the mirror and I said, today's going to be a great day. This is a choice. And I put my phone down and I just, you know, stopped looking at it. I went outside and it really just changed my day because I realized that I could have gone off on those thoughts and processing yesterday, but that simple thing is such a great example of how we can just flip it. And it's just a practice. Not that, and I've known this, right? You know, we've talked. I know our thoughts aren't the truth, but sometimes if you have to put up reminders, even on your bathroom mirror, like today is going to be a great day, these prompts can help you. And then eventually be a hope, right? They become a habit. So I can't hear that.
You know, if you want to have a good body, you can't eat right once. You can't go, oh man, I had a salad at lunch. I'm going to be good the rest of my life. You have to develop habits and practices that you do over and over and over again. I lost my dad Right. And I remember May 5th was the day he died. And I went to bed. And just because it's my habit, I went, what went well today? And at first I went, seriously? Because it was a terrible day. And then, but then I'm like, it's what I do. And I thought about the interaction between the police officer and my mom, which was so funny and so sweet. I thought about the hundreds of texts I had gotten that day. And I held his hand before the coroner took him away. And I just remember how soft his hand was. Mm. And it was just so lovely. And I went to sleep and slept the whole night. And it didn't mean I wasn't sad and I didn't grieve, but it helped. Mm. You can direct your mind to help you, or you have a choice. You can allow it to hurt you. And I really want people, and I adore you, so I want you to take ownership over your mind and really direct it to where you want to go. And I love the words ownership and responsibility, because responsibility never means it's your fault. It's just your ability to respond. And I always want for myself and the people I care about, I want them to have 100% responsibility to respond to whatever comes their way.
Yeah.
I have wrote another book called Your Brain in Love. And I'm like, 40% of 40-year-olds have erectile dysfunction. 70% of 70-year-olds have erectile dysfunction. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm sort of not okay with that.
I'm not okay with it either.
If you get your blood flow better, your mood is better, your memory is better, and the time you spend with your lover is better.
This is all so helpful. Again, if you want to learn more about Dr. Daniel Amen and his practice, visit his website, amenclinics.com, or follow him on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. It's all at Doc Amen. I want us to take a call together now. Let's talk to Michelle. She's 28 in New York. Hi, Michelle.
This might be all over the place, and I apologize. But I just want to start off with, my father died when I was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. I can see that this directly correlates to my current relationship. I was feeling the pressure of wanting to get engaged to my boyfriend. We've been dating for about 3.5 years. We just bought a home, and an engagement is still not on the table. So I know, I am very aware that therapy is necessary, right? But I'm 28. I am a teacher and trying to maintain a house with a boyfriend that, you know, it financially not in the cards. That's the main thing. It's just finance. It's just not. I do see that it directly affects my relationship because I do lash out at him. It's getting engaged is not on the table. And I know that it correlates with my anxiety of what happened to me as a child and that would possibly happen in my future family with him. So I actually, you know, kind of took some time to myself and thought, you know, okay, well, actually I used a funny phrase where if he's not going to stimulate my mind with this full commitment, maybe he'll stimulate something else. So okay. We started to explore more in the bedroom, and I'm 100% Italian and he is 100% Irish. So for every 100 words I speak, he speaks about 4. But he is still very open and, willing and wants to try whatever I want to try. And it's been great in the bedroom, but I still do feel like the correlation to, you know, what's really happening in our relationship is tough. And so I guess ultimately my question is just, you know, how do I control it? Possibly. I know therapy is probably the answer, but you know, how can I just create a successful day-to-day life where it's not on my mind all the time, you know?
Right, right. Well, thanks for your question, Michelle. I mean, first off, just to unpack this here, the first thing you start with is, you know, you lost your father at a really young age at 2. You know, so you said that could impact the relationship. And then you talked about money, which I wasn't sure, like you bought a house or he bought the house. I don't know. Like that's just an issue. Worried about money right now. I think we're all kind of, you know, finances, this has not been the best year. So it's finances right. And there's something probably with abandonment or commitment. And how is that manifesting in your relationship right now? Because you're feeling like you're angry. Is it about your anger? You feel like it's anger as a result of your anxiety.
I'm angry that he doesn't want to take that step, but I also do feel like it's anxiety. Like time is ticking where God forbid something happened to one of us. You know what I mean? Like that if we did get married, that if one of us did end up losing our life earlier than expected, then I don't want what happened to my mother to happen to me or even to him. If God forbid something happened to me, you know what I mean?
All right. Got it. So your brain is racing to the past, what happened, the future tripping, past tripping. So yeah, that does sound like your thoughts are kind of racing all over the place. And yes, I can't help it. I do think that therapy is useful for everybody, but particularly, you know, having a loss like that, you know, I lost my father at 19 and, you know, I know that, you know, it's different when you're two, it's all different, but it's still loss, abandonment, all those things. So yes, I do think that therapy is invaluable to everybody and a commitment to therapy will help. And so also the thoughts. And so I'm wondering, have you done any, you know, and we're going to have Dr. Amons here. He can talk to you about this as well. But, you know, learning things that we were talking about earlier, controlling your thoughts, learning meditation, breath work, you know, how's your diet, your health, Dr. Amon, how can we help Michelle here?
Well, I was just thinking about my book, Your Brain is Always Listening, about the dragons from the past that still breathe fire on your emotional brain. And there are a couple of these dragons that popped up. So the first dragon is the abandoned, invisible, or insignificant dragon. And so when someone leaves you when you're two, even though you might not have a conscious recollection of it, the abandoned dragon is clearly breathing fire on you. And then, but what I really heard was the death dragon, that when death visits a person early, usually the death dragon shows up when you're 40, 45, and someone you love dies, like your parents or the friends of your parents, you begin to realize, is this all there is? And then you start worrying about death. But when you have a father die when you're two, or, you know, even when you're 15 or 19, you begin to really start worrying about death. And that fear of death begins to infect the present and mess up your relationships. But you have to be very careful. If you want him to marry you, you really want to get your anger under control, because otherwise you're going to put doubt in his mind as to your love. And it's not a pattern, because I also have the angry dragon in here that you would want to show your babies. And so understanding it and coming up with strategies to manage it can be successful.
It's true. I mean, that's the thing, Michelle. I know that you're like, oh, therapy. And I was hoping I could kind of unpack this tonight, but I really do think, and I wish I could come up with another way to let people know. I don't think it's as hard as everyone thinks, or it's not as, I don't know what people, why everyone's still resistant to it about therapy, because it really is a game changer for you to kind of understand the impact that the death had and where your anger is coming from. But if you're not wanting, you know, I think EMDR, and I know that Dr. Amon, you're a big fan of it too. It really was a game changer for me. And I've been in a lot of different types of therapy. So Michelle, that might be a really, and it's also not like a life, like it's the kind of thing you can go for 10 sessions, 20 sessions, and just start to kind of realize the impact that a lot of, you know, life events just sort of come together after you say it's just an interesting therapy that stimulates like the neural pathways in your brain, and it can kind of change your neural pathway.
You know, Emily, most people have the wrong thought about therapy.
Yeah.
If you just think about it, if a business was in trouble and the owners denied there was a problem, they end up going bankrupt. And the smartest people I know find the smartest people they know and ask for help. So asking for help, like calling the show or going to therapy, is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. We really have this backwards in our country. If you're behavior, Michelle, is interfering with you getting what you really want, which is, you know, this passionate, loving, committed relationship, then you want to figure that out, because that just means you're really a thoughtful, caring human being. So I'm really grateful you called. But taking that further to really understand, you know, how did I get this way? And does it fit, right? It's one of the questions I have my patients ask themselves all the time. Does it fit? Does my behavior fit the goals I have? So, for example, with my wife, I want a kind, caring, loving, supportive, passionate relationship. Always want that. Don't always feel like that. I get these terribly rude thoughts that come into my head. And by and large, I inhibit them because it doesn't fit the goals I have for the relationship. That'd be a good thing for both you and your boyfriend to write down. What's our goal?
Yeah.
Because you only want to marry somebody that has the same goals, right? At least the big ones that you have. What's the goal? And then when you're not acting in a way that is consistent with your goal, that's the important time to find, okay, which of these dragons are breathing fire on my brain?
Yeah. Michelle, I mean, I think the thing is, and I wish I could go back to my 28-year-old self, because I really kind of started on my path, probably my early 20s, like therapy and meditation. But I wish I could know that. I kept thinking, well, if I do this, it'll get better. If I do this, and you can't, the same thinking that got you to where you are right now, I got to resist it, I got to stop the anxiety, isn't going to help you undo it. So like Dr. Amen said, you know, have a problem with your business, you get a business coach. Your car breaks down, you take it to a mechanic. And we're telling you now, you've been through some trauma at a young age. Right now, it's coming out in anger. You know, it could be other things, but I recommend getting someone to talk to, you know, before you, and then that could become your passion, getting yourself healthy and getting into a more, you know, I want to say loving or, you know, safer relationship with yourself, so you can trust yourself and trust your moods and your anger will allow you to connect more better, you know, better with your partner, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, that was incredible, to be quite honest. You know, that was even more than I could have asked for. I'm pretty aware that therapy is the answer, like I said, but it's a financial investment in myself. So I know that it is a step that I do have to take.
It is.
Everybody's
the most, I mean,
doing Zoom therapy sessions.
Yeah.
We're doing EMDR over Zoom. My clinics, I have nine clinics around the country, 40 of our doctors every day on Zoom. And, you know, they actually say it's easier. Nobody has to drive traffic, and you're in New York, the parking costs are astronomical. It's just easier, and you can do it from home or from wherever you're at. You want to find somebody you trust that doesn't just listen to the problems you have. I'm not sort of a fan of that. They give you skills.
Yeah.
They ask you, what do you want? Is your behavior getting you what you want? And if it's not getting you what you want, how do we change your thoughts? Because thoughts create feelings. Feelings create behaviors. Mm-hmm. And behaviors create what you have or what you don't have. And it sounds like your behaviors aren't what you really want, which means we have to go back to what are the dragons and what are the thoughts that are creating your feelings.
All right, Michelle.
I mean, and this all makes sense. I just want to, just a quick side note. I apologize, but it all makes sense so much. I mean, there was a piece that I was missing sexually as well in my relationship, but I started listening to this podcast and gained the courage, I apologize, to approach him healthy, you know, with new ideas, you know, sitting down, not just, you know, in a state of like in the bedroom, where to do it. You know, I learned a lot from this, and I already took a great step, and I'm excited. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad, Michelle. Keep listening. Call in. You know, all we're giving you is like one assignment. Like, you know, sometimes it gets very overwhelming, but like go online. I'd look at EMDR. I think it's emdria.org or something is the website. That's what I recommend. But I've been doing it online too on Zoom. And I think you'll just know that you're taking the first step. And one more thing about the finances and therapy. I'll never forget this. But when I was going through our time and my mom saying to me, you know, your mental health is more important than anything, because I didn't have money either. But I was like, I need to get into therapy. This was like in my 20s. And so I'm so grateful for that advice, because we can always make excuses, but it is true. You need your brain to be healthy. Your it'll help your mental health and everything. Okay. Thanks, Michelle. We appreciate your call. Stay
Thank
in touch.
Thank you.
Let us know how it goes. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.